Friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we move into the second week of our Let Love Grow with our imagery from seed to fruit, this week looking at the sprout. But before we can look at the sprout, I want to check soil for a minute, okay? How many of you have ever been down the aisle or aisles of soils and dirt at Home Depot or Lowe's or Armstrong's or anything like that? I have to say, if you are not knowledgeable about soil, or if you haven't done your research and you don't know exactly what you're looking for, it can be one of the most overwhelming aisles in Lowe's or Home Depot. And that's saying something, because pretty much every aisle, if you don't know what you're looking for or know what you're doing, can be overwhelming. But it is a lot of words and a lot of descriptions, and in my mind, way too many choices. Seed starter, potting soil, topsoil, raised bed soil, organic soil, enriched soil, garden soil, topper soil, soil amendment, all-purpose soil, flower soil, lawn soil, fruit and veggie soil. I could keep going for the whole 15 minutes of the sermon, couldn't I? It's a whole lot of choices. Well, in my recent adventure in seed starting that I told you about last week, I needed to go and get soil to be able to start my seeds in, right? And as I'm wondering, what do I see? But I see a bag with the words seed starter, right? So this seems like if I want to grow seeds, this would be the proper thing. And fortunately, there was only one brand to pick from, one type of bag. So easy choice, seed starter to start my seeds in my egg cartons. Now, of course, I began to get sprouts. Some of mine have successfully sprouted, and some of them are even up to like that big. I'm so proud of myself. I won't tell you what the percentage of ones that have made it to sprout are, but I've got some that have made it like that big, and so I needed to get them out of the egg carton because they were starting to push, going, on the top of the little greenhouse-y guy that I had created out of a foil pan. So I took my little seeds and I cut my sprouts, and I cut their little individual cup out of the egg carton and moved them into a bigger cup. And I'm like, well, you know, if seed starter is good for seeds, it must have extra nutrients, so it must be good for moving into the cup that it's going in, right? So in it goes, CL's shaking his head at me. Either he's more knowledgeable than me, or he just knows where Pastor Stacy's stories go. And so I transferred it in, and I already had it, and I wouldn't have to go back to that scary aisle and figure out which one I needed, so in it went. And then, for this sermon today, I did my research on soil. And did you know that seed starter is not actually soil or dirt? I didn't know that, which explains why the bag was so light. I don't know if you've ever picked up seed starter, but it feels like you could just fling it like a balloon. It's like peat moss and all these other words that I don't understand, but it's not soil. And it's good for starting seeds because it's extremely light, so those delicate little sprouts that are trying to wiggle their way out don't have anything heavy on top of them and can easily get out, as opposed to soil that they would have to like push and shove out of the way to get to see the light of day. But here, I made the wrong choice. Unfortunately, seed starter may be good for the seed's initial growth, but once it sprouts, it needs nutrients. It needs a heavier soil to be a foundation for those roots so that that sprout doesn't go shoop, because we don't want the sprout to do that, right? Well, this morning's text talks just about that, doesn't it? Soil and ground. And Jesus, to talk about soil and ground, of course, of all places, Jesus is preaching from a boat, because a boat is exactly where I would be when I want to teach on soil and seeds and sprouts and growing things. But Jesus is never one to not have irony or confusion that comes with things. But here he speaks about seed that has fallen on three different types of ground, explaining which ones will survive and which ones don't. So the not Pastor Stacy seeds and the Pastor Stacy seeds, right? There are those that fail to grow completely, right? There are those that do grow quickly but then shrivel and die, not having what they need or birds to carry them off. And finally, there are those that do thrive. Why? Because they are in the good, proper, and right soil. Obviously not planted in seed starter, I guess. But Jesus wasn't really actually intending to talk about seeds or gardening or harvesting or which bag they should pick up in the local hardware store. But fortunately, unlike many parables here, Jesus does give us the explanation of what he is talking about. This is one where he says, "My disciples, this is what I mean." And what does he tell them? But he tells them that what he is talking about is the word of God and the people that it is planted in, our hearts being the different types of soil. Now, the word of God, it is actual words, isn't it? I got a whole bunch of them right here. I should have done a word count to know how many words are actually in the Bible. It seems like a million to me, right? It is actual words on paper that we are able to read, study, memorize, and work to follow, right? It says, do this, don't do that. And we can read it, memorize it, and follow it. The word is to be heard. It is to be understood. But even more than just words on a page, that is only the start of what the word of God is. Now, when we move into the prelude of the Gospel of John, which we like to read on Christmas Eve, at least I like to have read on Christmas Eve, it tells us that through Jesus, the word became flesh. I was half waiting for y'all to finish that one with me. The word became flesh. So it jumped off of the pages of the Bible and came in baby form and grew up to be Jesus, our Savior. The Word of God walked on this earth, left footprints for us to follow, and modeled how we should live and especially how we should love. Now, if we keep moving along through the pages of the book from Matthew to John and move into the book of James, we are called not to just be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Now, that's interesting. Hearers and doers. Like I've said, it's soccer season. I know you all get to love to hear all your illustrations with soccer season, but here's one of my favorite things about soccer season is helping a really veteran coach, and I don't think he's used to the age level that we're at with 9 and 10 year olds. He coaches high school boys, and there's just a little difference between high school boys and older elementary school girls. I don't know if you know that, but there is a little difference there. And my favorite is that Coach Herb loves to give them instructions. He tells them, move to the middle, move to the middle. He tells them, send it. He says, cover number 14. He gives all these instructions, and most of the time, they're kind of like little puppy dogs whose heads go, huh? They're throwing the ball in, and he says, throw it at the ref, throw it at the ref. And I'm mellow on how loud and adamant he is with this, but throw it to the ref. And they go, throw it to the ref? What? They don't understand. He's got it in his head. He knows what he's talking about. But while they hear it, they struggle to be able to put it in action and do it. That's our biggest learning we've got this season, is how to hear and then do what we've been told. But James says, the word of God, we can't just hear it and say, huh? We can't just hear it and say, well, that was nice reading today. But we actually be able to have to do what the word says. Called not to just hear, memorize, and understand the word of God modeled through Jesus Christ, but we are to be the living, breathing word of God in how we live out our lives as called disciples. This shows the word now to be written in here, seen through Jesus Christ, and now experienced through our lives. But Pastor Stacy, how do we experience the Word of God? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. Let's look at our soil, going back to starter soil versus potting soil. If we'd want to look at this in comparison, we go to Paul. And Paul, in his writings to the Corinthians, the first letter, third chapter to be exact, he tells us that we are offered milk like an infant when we are just beginning our faith journey, but that we are called to grow to solid food with our growing faith. He speaks to the Corinthians, though I should say he's admonishing the Corinthians, about their jealousy and quarreling with one another as proof that they are still in the milk phase of their faith, needing to become community and embodying love to move into the more mature steps within their faith. For us, let's think about this. We have the ability to not only hear and read bits and pieces of the Bible, or to see just certain parts of where Jesus lived, like the first hearers and the first seers, but we have the Word in its entirety, don't we? It's kind of like a buffet of God's Word laid out for us. Now, if you don't get gardening and you don't get soccer, maybe buffet is your language. Anybody here like a good buffet? Anybody here miss buffets? I don't know if any of them have actually come back or not, but it's simply like a buffet. Now, will we simply stay within the easy to eat, don't need to chew, quickly digest portions of the buffet? Or, wow, I just lost myself in this. Quickly digested portions of it in which baby sprouts struggle to grow, or will we go for the rich, heavy, and hearty foods that requires work to eat, but gives us a solid foundation of faith and optimal growth in who we are as disciples? Will you stick to the soup and the salad and the safe stuff, or will you need to try the savory and wonderful and scrumptious and more adventurous stuff? Kind of like asking the question, do you wish to be a baseball player who never moves past the tee in hitting? Do you wish to be a swimmer that never moves beyond the shallow end? Do you wish to have a learner's permit to drive but never actually work to get your driver's license? Or do you wish to only read children's books and simple books, never growing into novels and textbooks and the like? I don't know about you, but when I try something out, I want to see it to its fullest. If we stay in the beginning stages of anything that we take on, we will refuse to grow, to learn, and to develop. But moreover, it denies us the ability to live out our potential and experience full growth. Imagine if my sprouts were just sprouts, tiny little plants that never actually grew. It would be really sad, wouldn't it? A beautiful watermelon sprout that never gets to produce a melon would be a sad state for that little sprout. In our faith, we are called to not be satisfied in the beginning levels of faith, where we are spoon-fed the Word and not challenged to grow. But growth, my friends, I know is hard. Growth requires practice and learning and discipline. And too often, growth can have growing pains. But the work is worth it when you put it in, right, Wednesday? We were talking volleyball and soccer before worship. Well, how do we get that growing? How do we get that meat? How do we get to where we need to be? It's where we spend our time, We're called to spend time in the written word, not just reading, but studying, understanding, and putting it into practice. We're called to spend time in practice by challenging ourselves to love where we have not loved before. We are called to spend time with those whom we see that are more mature in our faith than us, to be able to learn from them and follow them. Likewise, we are called to spend time mentoring someone who is a step behind us or new to the faith. Guess what, y'all? No matter where you are in your faith journey, there's somebody a step behind you. Spend time in prayer and listening. Spend time with God. Spend time with the community of faith. Spend time in church. Spend time serving. Spend time giving. Spend time that's not about you, but about the other. Spend time where you don't necessarily want to be, but know you should be. Growing is hard, but growing is what we are called to do. Will you pray with me? Loving and living God, thank you for giving us the word, not only in the Bible, but also in the embodiment of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Help us to not desire training wheels in our faith, but to seek to grow and mature each and every day. Help us to understand where our rough edges are and where the most needed growth is, so that we can follow as closely as possible to the footprints of our Savior. For this we pray, through your Holy Spirit who guides us. Amen.